This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Although I enjoyed my time away and had a good hunting trip, it is good to be back behind the microphone. Looking forward to talking with you today. Well, with the turkey barely digested, Congress is, they're back at work this week. The big question is, will Republicans get tax reform across the legislative finish line? Republicans are trying to pass what is a pretty significant reform of our tax structure, going probably the biggest reform since 1986, and they're trying to get it done by the end of the year. Will they get it done? Well, Senator Jim Inhofe, our good friend, will be here with the latest. And President Trump took to Twitter attacking CNN again, accusing the liberal network of very poorly representing the U.S. on its airwaves around the globe. And, of course, CNN came back swinging. Who's right, CNN or President Trump? I have my opinion, but Tim Graham of the Media Research Center will join us to answer that question. Also, the case of a Colorado baker who refused to make a cake for a homosexual wedding heads to the Supreme Court next week, and his case, well, it has more than a prayer. Pastor Ronnie Floyd, president of the National Day of Prayer, is here to explain. And we'll be taking your calls a little later here on Washington Watch. Hey, in the past few days, we've had Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Fiber Friday. Oh, maybe not. But today is Giving Tuesday, an opportunity for you to help others through your generous donation. And here at the Family Research Council, we continue our year-end matching challenge. Now, as I've told you before, this program comes to you strictly by the support of folks like you across the country, no government money. It is supported strictly by the Family Research Council, which does so through your gifts. And through the end of December, any amount you donate to FRC receives a matching gift from a generous donor. And as I said, your gift supports our efforts to bring you this radio program each and every day. And donations can be made at TonyPerkins.com. You can partner with us. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Or you can also make a gift by texting. That's right. This is the number that you text to, 444-999. That's three fours and three nines. Put FRC in the subject line, and you'll get a message back. And all gifts will be doubled. All right, speaking of texting in social media, Twitter. If you want to reach me on Twitter, at P. Perkins, you can keep up with me that way. Okay. Look, the Republicans have a pretty, well, I think they have a pretty significant goal, and that is to pass tax reform before the end of the year, before they leave for Christmas. Now, President Trump met with GOP lawmakers on Capitol Hill and at the White House earlier today. Top Democrats, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, however, abruptly pulled out of the meeting with President Trump. We'll hear a clip of what Mr. Schumer had to say in a moment. But with us now is a good friend of ours, one of the conservative leaders in the United States Senate, Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. He is a senior member of the U.S. Senate Environment and Public Works Committee and a senior member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, nice talking to you. Nice talking to you.
Well, I know you've got a lot on your plate with the Republicans trying to get this tax reform through and not a lot of wiggle room. Can only afford to lose two votes. What does it look like at this point? Is it going to happen?
Well, Tony, more important than that, of our 20 kids and grandkids, we had 15 of them at our Thanksgiving dinner. What do you think about that?
It had to be a big table.
It was a big table. We've been doing that for years.
Well, you know what? You know, I want to stop for that for just a moment, because those are the things that are of priority. And I appreciate the fact that you celebrate your large family, and I celebrate along with you, because those are the reasons that we talk about these other things, is so that we can enjoy the things that I believe are most fundamental, and it is family.
Well, and I think the question you asked me, it really addresses that, too, because the Senate bill, probably more than the House bill, and I know you have a very sophisticated audience. They recognize that the House passed its bill. The Senate will be passing a bill. They're not exactly alike. They'll go to conference, and some things will change. But I got to put a plug in for the the Senate version, because there are so many things in there that really do favorably affect the families. If you look at the the child tax credit,
right?
It's raising it from $1,000 to $2,000. Well, I want your listeners to kind of stop and see how that affects them. It's really a big deal. The standard deduction for a single person goes from $6,000 to $12,000, and for a married couple, $12,000 to $24,000. Well, that's a huge thing. That's really makes a big difference. In fact, they have a well-documented average family of four savings or increase, you could say, or decrease in taxes, but increase in revenue for the families of $2,200. That means the average of those families of four listening to us right now would actually enrich themselves by $2,200 under this the Senate provision. So really good things are happening, and I'm very excited about getting this done. Now, the interesting thing that is not interesting, really, it's depressing. We won't get one Democrat vote. Democrats don't want to decrease taxes. They want to increase taxes. And people often say, you know, why should that be a partisan issue? Well, it is. And just wait and see, because they're going to be opposing it. They don't want this president to have a success. And right now, the media being on the other side, I'll go back to Oklahoma and I will talk to people on the street and they'll say, well, we're not getting anything done. Well, that's just outrageous to say that, because if you look at just the regulations, I think you and I talked about this once before, but he has reduced, I'm looking at the most current one right now, we reduced these onerous regulations that came with the Obama administration. So far, Congressional Review Act has passed, that's 15 of the regulations, and then under executive orders, 51 of them. Well, that's 65 regulations that were just killing jobs in America that we've completed or in the process of completing. So good things are taking place. Yes, we missed it by one vote on the health care thing, and of course I think everyone knows that John McCain was a real surprise when he opposed it, and of course it was defeated by one vote. Now I'm very optimistic that we're going to, by the end of this week, be able to pass this this tax reform and tax reductions here in the Senate.
Senator, let me go back to the Congressional Review Act, because I think we always like to educate people and give them information here. That was passed back, enacted during the time when Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House.
That's right.
It was back to early 90s, and it was designed to be able to take these actions by previous administrations that do at the last minute to enact by fiat without without legislative review to remove them and undo them and prevent them from being done again by an executive. So that had only been used one time prior to the Trump administration. And so the fact that that's been used 15 times in the last 10 months is quite significant.
And do you know which one it was the number two in that 20-year period? It was my bill. One of the regulations that people, there are so many regulations. In fact, if anyone wants to access this, you can go to my website, inhofe.senate.gov, and you can pull up all these regulations that we are in the process of eliminating either through executive action or congressional review. You're right, Tony. It was only used one time prior to this 20-year period. And then once the president was elected, I immediately introduced a Congressional Review Act to do away with one of the regulations that Obama had, and that regulation said that if it's a domestic oil and gas company and they're competing with China or some other state-owned energy company, they have to give them all the background, all the making of their bid, and put them at a competitive disadvantage to China. And so I just offered a repeal of that, and of course that was signed by the president. So the first signing ceremony we had with President Trump was me and President Trump. I was really, really proud of that. In fact, I want to tell you something. I know people won't understand this, but I made a decision when Obama was elected, knowing what we're in for, that I wasn't going to set foot in the White House during the years that he was president. Well, I thought that'd be 4 years. It ended up being 8 years. So the first month in office, this president came in, and it's nice to be back in the White House. And I run into people, Tony, that I remember from the Reagan administration. We've got a great bunch of people in there, and about half the people with my employees are now with the EPA.
And that's significant. And being led by a great Oklahoman, Scott Pruitt, who's doing a great job as the
administrator. Scott Pruitt was put through the ringer. Yeah, you know, he was one of my closest friends in Oklahoma. I used to fly him around in my airplane when he was running for office, and he is just doing a great job. But they put him through the ringer in the confirmation process. They made him answer 1,600 questions for the record, and of course now he's there.
Senator, I want to talk about something you brought up just a moment ago about the Democrats wanting to see President Trump fail. Now, this despite the fact that this is going to allow more Americans, working families, to keep the money that they've earned, the Democrats are wanting to make sure that the president fails. Now, I've got a clip here I want to play of your colleague Chuck Schumer, of what he had to say earlier about his meeting with President Trump and why he's not going.
We have a long to-do list before the end of the year, and time is running short. We had hoped to make progress with the administration on these issues in a meeting this afternoon. Unfortunately, this morning, instead of leading, the president tweeted a blatantly inaccurate statement and then concluded, "I don't see a deal." The president said, "I don't see a deal," 3 hours before our meeting, before he heard anything we had to say. Given that the president doesn't see a deal between Democrats and the White House, Leader Pelosi and I believe the best path forward is to continue negotiating with our Republican counterparts in Congress instead. Rather than going to the White House for a show meeting that won't result in an agreement from a president who doesn't see a deal, we've asked Leader McConnell and Speaker Ryan to meet with us this afternoon. We don't have any time to waste addressing the issues that confront us, so we're going to negotiate with Republican leaders who may actually be interested in reaching a bipartisan agreement. If the president, who already earlier this year said, quote, "our country needs a good shutdown," if the president isn't interested in addressing the difficult year agenda and wants to make the government shut down, we'll work with those Republicans who are interested in funding the government, as we did in April.
Senator, quickly before we run out of time, is this political theater?
Oh, of course it is. And it, you know, it's catching up. The polling is showing now that people are getting recognizing this obstructionism is coming from the Democrats. And I really predict we're going to be able to pull off this tax reduction. It's going to be the first one since, and I was around at that time when Ronald Reagan had his 1981 and 86 tax reform bills. We're going to do it again, and it's going to benefit everyone who's listening to us right now.
Well, we will be pulling for you to do that. Senator, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for being with me, my friend.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're back with more after this.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch and Merry Christmas. You know, that's in vogue now. You can say it again. President practicing it. And in fact, Christmas on full display at the White House. Nativity scene back. Christmas cards that now say Christmas. Isn't that something? The president was serious when he said it's going to be okay to say Merry Christmas again. He said that at the Values Voter Summit just a little over a month ago. And so, you know, this still continues to baffle the media. I was doing an interview with the New York Times last week on the Johnson Amendment, and we got into a discussion about Merry Christmas. And, yeah, well, you know, what's that all about? I said, you guys still don't get this. This is about the ability to openly convey, and I know it, you know, Christmas has become a very secular holiday, but if you look beyond the, you know, the sales and the symbols, it's about a savior, and the substance of it is very religious. And the president is communicating, this is why he connected with evangelicals, is that he's communicating, it's okay for you to live out your faith, to openly proclaim a belief in Jesus Christ. And to celebrate his birth. I, for one, applaud that. And all the other policies, the actual policies that have flowed from his commitment to religious freedom. And, in fact, I write about that today in my update, which, if you do not receive, you can. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and you can sign up for that. Well, over the weekend, President Trump tweeted, put out a tweet criticizing CNN International. Now, if you ever travel abroad, what's in airports and what you get in hotels overseas is CNN. And it is. And he said he accused the network of representing the U.S., quote, very poorly, unquote, across the globe, around the globe, and claimed that the conservative Fox News is domestically more important. Now, CNN was quick to respond. criticizing the president. They all took turns bashing the president yesterday regarding this. And, you know, the question is, who's telling the truth? Who do you believe? In fact, we're going to talk about that. Who do you believe? Is CNN the king of fake news? Or is the president unjustified in calling out CNN? Now, in full disclosure, if you go back to one of my, actually my first book that I wrote, Personal Faith, Public Policy, it's been a while back now, 12 years ago. With Bishop Harry Jackson, we wrote about seven major issues, which, by the way, are still issues that have yet to be resolved. But we take them on from a biblical perspective. But we happened to be talking about the media, and I was very defensive of CNN. At that time, being a balanced news network that allowed both sides to speak. But something happened in the last 8 years during the Barack Obama era, and they took a hard turn to the left. Now, one of the reasons that I was on CNN a lot, Lou Dobbs used to be on CNN. Of course, he left. CNN got too liberal for him, and he went to Fox. He's at Fox Business now. And, you know, so they've lost all touch with any kind of conservative, in my view, any kind of conservative view of the news. And I think they, and the president has been antagonistic, I'll give them that. But they have been extremely, I believe, unfair in the way that they report. And they, I think they are trying to shape the news more than report the news. It's my view. And I don't have a lot of use for much of the cable news. Even Fox is trending a little bit to the left. I think you got to be very careful where you get your news these days. But anyway, we're going to talk about that. Who do you believe? Who do you think is telling the truth? Is President Trump right in calling CNN, you know, what I call the king of fake news? Well, I'm going to get the opinion of who I believe is an expert, Tim Graham. He's the executive editor of Newsbusters and Media Research Center's director of media analysis. Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
All right, so in this spat between the president and his tweets against CNN and them pushing back, who's telling the truth? Is CNN the king of fake news, or is the president going out of his way to misrepresent CNN?
Well, CNN, he was trying to say something that CNN dramatically overreacted to. He was basically saying, I don't like your coverage. I don't like the way your coverage portrays me. I don't like the way your coverage portrays this country. And then, you know, there was a suggestion we should have a fake news contest. This is what he does. This is what he has done since he started running for president. And they still act like it started yesterday. But it's certainly not, you know, the ridiculous part of this is to go bring on Dan Rather to explain why he's saying the news is fake. And then later in the evening, Brian Williams complaining about Trump calling the news fake. These are people who are the actual makers of fake news.
And is it the fact that no one's ever challenged them before?
Well, I mean, I think that what bothers me is CNN will go out and they made like this 5-minute video mashup complete with supportive music about all the wonderful international reporting they've done. That is not true. It's not entirely true. They also had Peter Arnett claiming that Saddam, we bombed a baby milk factory that was not a baby milk factory. CNN had a Baghdad bureau, which they later admitted that they really couldn't report any actual news out of because they were too afraid of their people in Iraq getting killed. So, I mean, it's like a lot of things. They've had some good days. They've had some bad years.
And they've earned some of this criticism.
Yeah.
Tim Graham, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.
And by the way, Merry Christmas. All right, when we come back, Colorado Baker will have his day in court next week. The Supreme Court, his case in which he declined to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding, going all the way to the United States Supreme Court. There are folks on their knees praying for him. Dr. Ronnie Floyd is here next. Don't go away.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Yes, you will hear Christmas music and Christmas greetings here at Washington Watch. It's okay to say Merry Christmas in Washington again. It's always been okay here, but anyway, the president and the first lady celebrating Christmas, rolling out a big Christmas display, and you know what? The media is kind of going crazy about it. What's this? Look, you know, it's amazing what the last 8 years has done in terms of setting a standard. And now the president's reestablishing and even going further. And I think it's good, and I support it, and I'm glad about it. All right, Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys representing cake artist Jack Phillips filed their final brief last Wednesday prior to oral arguments at the United States Supreme Court in Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which takes place next week. Now, this is a case that we all need to be praying about, because this is an issue where the Supreme Court will be looking at sexual liberty and its intersection with religious liberty. Will our first freedom survive the invention of these new rights by the court? And that's what's coming up. Now, the Trump administration has sided with a Colorado baker who refused to bake a wedding cake for a homosexual couple. But as I said, this is something that we need to be praying about. And there are those that are doing just that. Pastor Ronnie Floyd, who is the senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas, past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and now president of the National Day of Prayer, joins us now. Dr. Floyd, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. Always great to be with you.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. And let's talk about this case, because you're taking this very seriously, because it is an issue of religious freedom. And you're gathering folks to pray about this case even tonight.
Yes, we are, Tony. We were reached out to by the ERLLC, and they asked if I'd be willing to try to reach out and mobilize the National Day of Prayer group around the country to pray for Jack Phillips and to try to work out some kind of arrangement whereby we could maybe do a call, or if nothing else, just, you know, try to mobilize people to pray for them because of the significance of the case. And so I was able to reach out to our folks, and they began to brainstorm on it. And now one of our ladies, who is the state leader for the state of Nebraska, named Karen Bowling, is conducting the call with the Alliance of Defending Freedom, and Jack Phillips will be on the call tonight. And we would just love to have anyone who would like to gather on the call to join us tonight to pray for Jack. He's going to be on the call. He's going to talk for a moment on the call, as well as his legal defense is going to talk, and a few of us are going to pray for him. And so it's going to be a significant call, 8 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. tonight. It's only 30 minutes long, Central Time, 8 to 8:30 p.m.
All right, how can folks find out more about joining this call?
Well, they can go to my Twitter website if they want, to my Twitter handle at Ronnie Floyd, and on there is the number. I can give you a quick dial-in number if they want to dial it in. It's 712-775-7031, and then you enter the ID number 546-987-937#, and that will get them in the call, and they can join however many people will join from across the country, and we will pray for Jack and for all that's coming down next Tuesday, Tony. That's when it's going to be argued, to my understanding, at the Supreme Court.
Yes, it will, and I'll be there on the steps of the state capitol.
Tony, you really brought me along on that, and that's one of the great things that you and your organization do. Y'all really educate people, and you had talked to me about the significance of this case, and, you know, even in that conversation, we talked about, man, we got to mobilize the forces. Well, tonight is an effort to do that, and obviously all of your listeners can do it on their own, but it's great when we can do it together, especially with the man who is in the middle of the battle.
Absolutely. And I'll retweet that so folks can get that contact, that call-in information, so they can be a part of that as well. I think people need to know the significance of this case that will be before the United States Supreme Court. This is going to be one of the most significant cases on religious freedom that the nation's highest court has seen in decades, and will have ramifications that will, I think, last a generation.
Yes. I think so, Tony. And I think the big deal is it really is the intersection of business in a different kind of way. And it really comes to the element of someone's conscience and what they can do and they cannot do. And it's just, you know, we don't need the overreach of government trying to tell us what we should do and should not do in relationship to these kinds of matters. And I know that our business people all over the country are being put in the middle of this kind of crucible. And this is why this case is very significant.
All right. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, as always, great to have you on the program. And we will be joining you in praying for Jack Phillips.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right. And as I mentioned, folks, I will be on the steps of the Supreme Court next week when that case is argued. Okay, don't go away, because when we come back, we're going to take your phone calls. What do you think? Let's go back to the president in CNN. Who's right? Is the president right in calling out the king of fake news? I want to hear what you have to say. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
No, that was that's not me singing. I know it may sound like, but it's not me. All right, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get on the conversation this afternoon. And here's what we want to talk about. We were talking about earlier the president yesterday calling out CNN, and his deal was this. It goes to the CNN International, because that's what's seen in airports and hotels across the around the world. That they're not representing what's happening in America. And I will tell you that it's very interesting how people are responding as they go different parts of the country and the world. And what I have found is people are very supportive of what they know about President Trump. I saw this in the Middle East. And that's even with the, I think, biased news coverage that is being, you know, piped out around the world. So what do you think? Do you think that the president's right in calling CNN out as being the king of fake news? Well, he didn't use that term. I said that. But calling them out for their fake news, very poorly representing the U.S. Of course, CNN fighting back. Is the president going too far in taking on the media and challenging the media? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Hey, let me just remind you of this. For those of you who have been tracking this for a while, the boycott against Target continues. You know, Target, you know, wanting to jump in and create these gender-confused bathrooms and dressing rooms, and there's been people that have been, they've had incidents, put it down, just leave it at that, where people have been, their safety and well-being has been jeopardized in these Target facilities. Well, the boycott continues, being led by American Family Association, hashtag anywhere but Target. And so just want to remind you of that as you go into the shopping season, anywhere but Target. Let them feel it and let other retailers see it. This is a way you can vote with your dollars. And by the way, it's a good time to download the app Second Vote if you don't already have that. And that lets you know where a lot of these people stand on issues. All right, so that you know where your money is going. Anyway, that's secondvote.com, or you can get the app at the App Store. Okay, 866-372-7234, and let's go to Georgia where Sadie is on the line. Sadie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how you doing today?
I am great. Sadie, how are you?
Praise the Lord, I am too. We can get this going in this with President Trump. I am for him 100%. He was right in calling out CNN as the number one king of the fake news. And they're doing everything they can to destroy this United States of America and the President Trump, that he can't get his stuff through. That's what they're trying to do. And then going over there and doing overseas and then putting America in a bad situation. This is serious. This is sad, Tony, and I'm for President Trump 100%. I voted for him. I will vote for him again if he runs in 2020, and I'm for him 100%.
All right, Sadie. Well, I appreciate that call, and I appreciate your passion as well. I mean, I do think that, I think that CNN, well, and I'm just going to put the liberal media is unhinged, as the left is in their attacks on everything the president does, even the good things he does. I mean, look, I gave President Obama credit where credit was due. He did a couple of things that were right. This president can't do anything right. Nothing. Everything he does is criticized by the media. All right, let's go to Ohio where Joe is on the line. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thanks for your ministry. Thanks for your passion. Thanks for that first caller's passion. I agree with her. I mean, the fake news has been wrong since day one. You go clear back to the election night at 7:05 Eastern Standard Time. They said, you know, it was 91% chance Hillary Clinton will be the next president, and by 9:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it was 87% chance that Trump would be president. So, I mean, it's nothing but fake news. They know the correct news. They choose to report the fake news. They've got an agenda. I mean, they're a powerful adversary, and we, the conservative Christians, have just got to stay together and band together and make sure that the real news gets out there and the facts get out there. And if it's Trump on social media, if it's you or Sean Hannity or Mark Levin or whoever it is, Abraham Hamilton, getting the true facts out there. That's what the evangelical voters need, and we'll continue to support, you know, conservative candidates. And God bless you, and thanks for all you do.
All right, Joe, thank you. And Joe brings an extremely important point. We have to have news. You need to know what's going on. You can't stick your head in the sand and just think all this stuff will go away. You need to know what's going on. Now, you don't have to be listening all the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You need to know what's going on. You know, pick your programs. There's some good programs on, American Family Radio, Bot Radio Network, some of our other networks that we're on. And there's some good online sources. I like to read more than I like to listen. A lot of the folks we have on this program that are good sources of information. And so I encourage you to look at those sources and organizations. You know, One News Now is a great source. Getting updates from Alliance Defending Freedom on religious liberty issues. And I've got a daily update that comes out. It's not a comprehensive news document, so you need to get a couple of those or a few of those that we focus on: religious liberty, life issues, legislative issues, what's happening in Washington. So that's kind of our niche. But you need to know what other things are happening. So find those sources that are trustworthy and are coming at you from a similar worldview, a Christian worldview. I mean, that that helps. I think it's in, and then those sources that you get the news from know that, you know, cable news networks, if you listen to or watch one of them, know that they're coming at it from a different perspective. You just need to be aware of that and not allow the media to spoon feed you. You need to be critical in your thinking and analyze the information that you're getting. 866-372-7234. Before we take our next caller, I did get a request to repeat the number for the call tonight that Dr. Floyd, our friend Dr. Floyd, is leading. That call number, here's the phone number. I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you grab a pencil and paper, and I'm going to give it to you after our next caller. So get ready if you want to write down that number to participate in that call tonight. Let's go to Country in West Virginia. Country, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. I'd like to make two points. First, on the Supreme Court case with the Baker. After President Trump was elected, there were quite a few performers and entertainers that said that they wouldn't participate in the inauguration and all that, and then the dressmaker or whatever said that he wouldn't make the dresses for Melania Trump.
Yep.
There's really no difference other than, you know, there's a justification for the baker not wanting to do the cake for a gay wedding. And the other point was in regards to the media. It was also not too long after Trump was elected that it was one of the talking heads on one of the shows that where they said we're talking about Trump, you know, going around them and tweeting and all this and that, and giving the, you know, the public the information, and they tried to say that, like, he was controlling, you know, what people, the information that they got, and then one of them made the comment that that was their job. Like, in other words, you know, incriminating themselves by saying, you're only supposed to know what we want to tell you.
Well, and that's the way they look at it. I mean, that is absolutely how they look at it. And to your point, I think it's an excellent point, Country, that you bring up. And you go back, I'm going to just take the one aspect of the inaugural dress for Melania, the president's wife. There were at least 8 designers that said they came out even before they were asked. I mean, I was kind of a little arrogant, if you ask me. They came out to say that if given the opportunity, they would not make a dress for Melania. Now, they weren't even asked, but they came out and said they wouldn't do it because there were others that refused. And it is a double standard. You're absolutely right. I think that, you know, an artistic person, I mean, someone who has a skill, a gift, a talent that they want to use and they don't want to be forced to use it. I mean, to me, that sounds like indentured servitude, that you have to force someone to do something that they don't want to do. But that's exactly what this case is before the Supreme Court that will be heard next week. And so you're absolutely right. Country, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening in. I mean, Jack Phillips is a creative skill to make these cakes. He designs each one of them uniquely. It wasn't like they just picked a cake out of the freezer. They're designed and they're made. This is a skill. And plus, this is being involved not in making a dress, which, you know, is not a religious ceremony, an inaugural. This is talking about a wedding. It is a religious function, and Christians see this as very significant and sacred. But yet they can force people to do that. The country's got a great point. He's absolutely correct. All right, if you'd like to join the call tonight, praying for and with Jack Phillips, here's a number, 712-775-7031. Now, you'll be prompted to enter a passcode, an ID, and that is 546-987-937-pound. Okay, you got that? Number to call, 712-775-7031, and enter the passcode 546-937-pound. 888-987-937-POUND. That's at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Central tonight for 30 minutes if you would like to join our friend Dr. Ronnie Floyd in leading that call. All right, let's go to Georgia, and who's in Missouri. Georgia, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment. I do totally agree that Trump should be calling out the fake news media because they are fake news, and most of the stories that they run are just to push an agenda by the liberal secular group that's pushing for this one world order, which we totally disagree with. And I, as a Christian, you know, felt like it was my duty to get out and keep Hillary Clinton from being elected because of her stance on, you know, the murder of our unborn children. It's just horrible. And, you know, I think the protective covering of the United States has fallen off in since 1962, the removal of prayer from our schools, the abortion, allowance of abortions, and now with what Barack Obama has done in 2015 with the same-sex marriage. I mean, all of these are just sins against God, and we as Christians have to stand up and fight for that every time we get a chance. We have to keep fighting.
We do. In fact, today in reading in Proverbs, as our family was reading it, we contend with evil by doing what is good. And so we have to uphold that truth. And people say, well, you know, we just need to just keep to ourselves and not create conflict or controversy. That's not true. Truth is controversial. Now, we need to approach it in such a way that we're not, you know, our goal here is not to win a debate or you know, win an argument with somebody, but rather it is to reveal to them the truth and speak the truth to them. And if we won't stand up and speak and push back against the evils that you just talked about, Georgia, if we won't do it, who will? And I think you're absolutely right. It's time for us to do that. Georgia, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Folks, you know, we contend with that which is evil by, number one, doing what is good in our own lives. Now, that's a key part of it, is that we, you know, that's what opens up the faith, Christian faith, the criticism, is when the world sees hypocrisy. Now, they make that claim of hypocrisy a lot, but there are times when it's legitimate. Now, the one thing that's different about Christianity, and I'm going to talk about this because I've been watching what's been happening in Hollywood and in Washington about all of these sexual issues that have been coming up. It's very fascinating. And we'll talk about that, but we're out of time for today. Folks, I want to thank you so much for joining us. As always, great to be with you. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow night. I hope you will as well. And bring a friend. Bring a friend. Let's celebrate Christmas together. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where it says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.